And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. As you can see, we're talking about the throne of God. And I'm going to do my best to kind of paint you a picture. And Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Well, let's start with verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Say, I have a great high priest. That is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession or confidence. All right? There's a lot of things that can try to shake you up in the world. But you got to hold on to your confidence in the Lord. You want to put your confidence in Jesus. He's the great high priest, okay? And he came to this earth for a season. He came to give his life. He came, he gave his life, he died, he was crucified, and he rose again, and now he went back to heaven. And then he goes on to say, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Say, God knows what I'm going through. See, he was a human being. He knows what it's like to walk in your shoes. He literally walked in your shoes. Amen? So God can relate to you. He understands you. He knows you. All right? But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now this is the premise about what she's going to make this next statement. Based on what Jesus Christ has done, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can do verse 16. Let us, therefore, come how? Boldly or confidently unto what? What does God want us to come to? The throne of grace. Say, I have an invitation to come to the throne. Isn't that good news? Every believer in Christ Jesus can come to the throne. You can approach the throne anytime, any place, any day, anywhere. But you've got to come with confidence. You put your confidence in Christ, and you can come to the throne of grace. What are you going to find at the throne of grace? Number one, that you may obtain mercy. Because God's throne is established on righteousness and justice. And there you can find mercy. All right? You can obtain mercy. Mercy is at the throne of grace. But you've got to come there with confidence in Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, you can come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace. God's ability, God's power, God's strength. When can you use this grace? When you need it. I don't know about you, but I need grace every day. A person can't be saved without grace. Grace enables us to serve God. And let's just do a quick review. So I'm going to give you a picture of the throne of God. And we're going to talk about some things about the throne because I want you to get a picture of the throne. I want you to be comfortable around the throne. I want you to know that you are welcome at the throne. You are invited to the throne. You know, it's not like the White House where you have to be invited or you have to get an appointment. You can't just show up there. If you do, you'll be taken out by the Secret Service, right? All right? You see the throne. I just tried to get some pictures of a throne. He's seated on a throne. And you know what? Our words and those pictures really don't do it justice. because we're going to see some descriptions of the throne of God. All right, go to the next slide. God's throne is established on righteousness and justice. We went over this last week. So it's founded on righteousness and justice. You'll never be treated unfairly at the throne. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do in life, the throne will deal with you. Amen? God is a righteous God, but he's also a just God. All right? He will execute justice. When we don't, see, we do the righteousness to get the blessing. But if we disobey the righteousness, we'll receive the justice. All right? So it's founded on righteousness and justice. All right? Proverbs 29:14, it says, a king needs to judge the poor fairly. All right? It's established in mercy. Didn't the writer of Hebrews said we can obtain mercy at the throne of grace? Okay? But his throne is prepared for judgment. All right? You don't want to make the lamb angry. You can read about his anger in Revelation 5. All right, go to the next section. God sits on the throne. I want you to position yourself in a position of rest. Amen? You're not heavy. You're not weighted down. You need to be at rest. That doesn't mean doing nothing. It just means that you're not weighted down by cares, concerns, and worries of this world. All right? So God sits on his throne. And there's just some different scriptures there that we talked about last week, how he's sitting on his throne. All right? I want you to get that picture of Jesus sitting on the throne. And you can come before him. You can discuss things with the King of the universe. You need to change something in your life? Bring it before the throne, because that's where decisions are made. Amen? See, when we pray, when we come before God, we have to focus. See, the throne is his authority. It's his power. It's his dominion. And we have to get a picture that when you come before God, you're coming before the King. Amen? He's the only one in heaven with wounds. Think about that. So he's up in heaven. He is sitting on his throne. It's his throne of glory. See, he finished his work, so he has the right to sit down. Amen? Unless you get him excited. Now, there was a man in the Bible by the name of Stephen. And Stephen was the first martyr of the early church. And people came against Stephen, but they couldn't argue with him because he was operating by the wisdom of God. And he began to declare the gospel to the people, but they didn't want to hear it. So they stopped their ears and they began to rush on Stephen and they began to stone him. And he looked up and he saw heaven open up and he saw Jesus standing at the throne, because Jesus was giving Stephen a standing ovation. So when you get God excited, he'll take a stand for you. See, Stephen would rather die than deny the Lord. And when he was preaching and he saw Jesus standing, they didn't like that, but he said, Father, forgive them, lay not this charge to their account. See, he had a vision of the throne. You know, when Moses was fighting the Amalekites when they came out of Egypt, you know what he did? He lifted his hands to the throne. And as long as his hands were lifted up, guess what? He was winning the battle. But how many know that you can't keep your hands up by yourself indefinitely? His hands started to grow tired, so his hands started to come down. So then he sat down, and there was a person on this side and a person on this side, and each of them held up his arms. And as long as his arms were held up, he won the battle. Amen? When you honor the throne, God will honor you. Amen? So next section, number 3, Where is the throne located? It is in heaven. All right? The Lord's throne is in heaven. He's up in heaven right now. And from heaven, he rules and he reigns. And he makes decisions. When you need God to intervene on your behalf, we're going to find out. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I'm not going to say that right now. When you need God to intervene on your behalf, and you call out to God, your prayers actually go before the throne. He hears your cries. He hears your prayers. And it'll cause God to move heaven and earth. And the king will make a decree. And that decree will be carried out. And an angel or however God has to do it, he will get the answer to you. He will move on your behalf. He will change your circumstance. All that occurs at the throne, which you and I have been given the privilege to come before because of what Jesus Christ has done. All right, so his throne is in heaven. He said in Isaiah, he said, heaven is my throne. And even the Lord said, look up for what? Your redemption draws nigh. What are you looking at when you look up? Are you looking at the sky? No, in your mind's eye, you got to picture the throne. You got to know that there's someone who's cheering for you who's on the throne. You got to know that there's someone who can change your situation and he's on the throne. He's not off of the throne, he's on the throne. And the throne, he will use his throne on your behalf. All you got to do is believe him. All you got to do is put your trust in him. And you can reap the benefits of the throne. Isn't it awesome to be able to have the king for your friend? Hallelujah. So he sits down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 3. Go to the next section, and we're going to see where decisions are made. Jeremiah chapter 3. And let's look at verse 17. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imaginations of their evil hearts. See, if you want to change your life, if you want to change your way, you can come before the throne. God made it so easy to be saved. He simply said, what? Call upon the name of the Lord, and what? You shall be saved. The minute you call out to Jesus, and the minute you put your faith and you believe in him, you have access to his throne. It's where our evil imaginations can change, all right? Go to Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22. Does the PowerPoint help you? I'll get better and better at it as I go along. Let's look at verses 1 through 5. Thus says the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word. And say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sits upon the throne of David, you and your servants and your people that enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, execute judgment. So he's talking about a natural king. And he's telling the king, you're on the throne, you have the right to exercise the authority, so he's saying, execute judgment. All right? And righteousness. And deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor. See, kings and those in authority are really supposed to use their power for good, but a lot of them use them for greed. Amen? You know, when the righteous rule, the Bible says the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, we weep. So he's saying here, administer justice and righteousness, rescue the victim of robbery out of the hand of the oppressor, do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. See, God is when God puts you, he gives you authority, he puts you in charge, it's like he gives you a throne. Now, you can't let that throne go to your head. You're supposed to use that throne in conjunction with his plans and his works, but that doesn't always happen, does it? Because we live in a fallen world, okay? And then he says in verse 4, if you do this thing indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house kings sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, says the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. I'll tell you what, when kings don't obey the word of God, they do receive punishment. Now, we may not see it right then and there, but they will be punished. How many know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar when he thought that the kingdom that he built was all his doing? He found out what it meant to be a cow or some kind of animal. He grew claws and grew hair, and he started eating grass. I want you to go to the book of Jonah for a minute. See, the throne is where decisions are made. All right? It's where judgments are made. And Jonah chapter 3. Jonah was commissioned to preach to Nineveh. And when his message reached the king, that's when a change began to take place in this city. Look at verse 6. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne. He took off his royal robe, put on sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he issued a decree. I want you to notice, he issued a decree. See, he had the authority of the throne. He had the dominion of the throne. He had the power of the throne to issue a decree. When a decree comes from the throne and people obey that decree, things will begin to happen. Amen? And so he issued this decree. He said, by order of the king and his nobles, no man or beast or herd or flock is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Furthermore, both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and everyone must call out earnestly to God. Each must turn from his evil ways and from the violence he is doing. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that he will not perish. Now, the Ninevites didn't know how to get back to God. So God had to send a messenger to set things right. They were on a course of destruction. But see, God's throne is founded on mercy, on righteousness, and judgment. So Nineveh was set to be destroyed. But before destruction comes, God always puts mercy first. And so Jonah went and preached to the Ninevites. And the message got to the king, and it touched the king's heart. And the king, he took off his royal robe, and he made a decree. He said, this nation is going to repent, or this city is going to repent. And when he made that decree, everybody followed in line. And what happened? They tapped into that righteousness. They got before the throne of God, and they obtained mercy. They needed mercy because they were in 40 days they were going to be destroyed. But God gave them mercy. And it was from the decree that was made from the throne. that changed the atmosphere. It changed the city. You're talking several hundred thousand people. So we cannot underestimate the power of the throne. Amen? And let's go to the next section. God's throne will not end. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? His throne isn't going to diminish in glory. His throne isn't going to weaken or lose power, but his throne is going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever. There is no end to the throne of God. There is going to be no end to his rule. There's going to be no end to his reign. He is going to be king forever and ever. And he's going to throw the biggest party that you've ever seen, called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And every one of you are invited. And there's no party like a Holy Ghost party. He's going to have a spread. He's going to invite people. We're going to have robes of righteousness. We're going to have garments of praise. We're going to have glorified bodies. And we're going to eat. And we're going to glorify the Lord. And we're going to have a good time. So make sure that you respond to your invitation. Amen? Go to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. Hallelujah. See, when you preach about the throne, then you can have faith in the throne. Amen? Say, I've got a feeling. Everything is going to go my way. It's going to work out for my good. Because I know the King. And I can go and have a talk with him. Hallelujah. God loves to have a talk with you. Psalm 45, verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a right scepter. You love righteousness and you hate wickedness. I want you to know that phrase. God loves righteousness, but he hates wickedness. Now, it doesn't matter. God loves people, whether they're righteous or they're wicked. But unfortunately, when a person does not change from being wicked, they will be dealt with. But God gives you the opportunity to change. He loves righteousness, but he hates wickedness. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Go to Lamentations. Lamentations. I heard that was written by a crier. And go to chapter 5, verse 19. It says, you, Lord, are enthroned forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Aren't you glad that the next generation after you, they can benefit from the throne? Young people, when you know Jesus, you can come before the throne. You don't have to be 18 to come before the throne. Amen? You don't have to be a certain age. All you have to do is have faith in Jesus, and you can come before the throne. But it's forever and ever. You want to put your faith in something that's established. Go to Psalm 93. Psalm 93, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 93, verses 1 and 2. It says, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed, enveloped in strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be shaken. Your throne has been established from the beginning. You are from eternity. So God's throne isn't going to go anywhere. If it did, this world would fall apart. All right? Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And look at verse 32. verse 32 and 33, it says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for how long? Forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. If you want to get in on a good thing, get in on God's kingdom. Amen? When everything else falls apart, God's kingdom will be there. Hallelujah. So it's forever and ever. All right? Go to the section 6, and let's look at how God's throne is the focus of worship. Do you realize that at the throne, there's a concert happening every day? Revelation chapter 7. All right, Revelation chapter 7. Look at verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. Say, a great multitude. Is that a few people or a lot of people? All right? A great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues. So this is everybody from the world. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb. I want you to notice that this multitude is standing before the throne because they had access to the throne. There's this great multitude packed out. There's no concert hall on earth that could hold this many people. But there is a concert hall in heaven called the throne room of God. And they're clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, not palm pilots. And they cried with a soft voice, right? No, they didn't cry with a soft voice. They cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Well, I tell you what. The stage lights on the throne, there's no lights because it's all about the glory of God. It's the brightness. It's the majesty. You've got gems. You've got flashes going on. You got things happening. And there's a multitude. And all the multitude is concerned about is worshiping the Lord. They're consumed with worship. Why don't we practice that tonight? Amen. Why don't we just give us the benefit of the doubt tonight, and let's just pretend that we're before the throne of God, and let's join the worship party tonight. Amen? I want to give you a chance to worship the Lord tonight in just a little bit. Amen? Because we're building it up, all right? We got to do the crescendo thing, all right? Go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Isn't it interesting how God ends his book on worship? Revelation 19. And let's look at verse 3. Well, we better just look at verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah. Don't we say hallelujah when we worship? Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because that's what his throne is established on. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders, the four beasts, fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out from the throne saying, praise our God. God, you know, God didn't need a bullhorn, but it's like someone with a magnified bullhorn. And he says, praise the Lord. You know, sometimes like the pastor, when he says, come on, we're going to praise the Lord. You know, I kind of feel like a cheerleader. and all you servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. Listen, both small and great are welcome around the throne. And I heard, as it were, verse 6, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let me tell you something. There's no sorrowful moment in heaven. It's all a party. It's all rejoicing. There's singing. There's shouting. There's things, commotion going on. It's standing room only. See, when you're in a glorified body, you don't need to be worried about sitting. You can stand and it's not going to bother you. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Hallelujah. I want you to see yourself around the throne in that worship party. I want you to see yourself as being one of the voices around the throne. God's going to start a new choir. It's called the Voices of the Throne. And everyone is welcome to join the choir. Because when you have a glorified body, that means you're going to have a glorified voice. You won't just have to make a joyful noise, because your singing will be beautiful. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation 8. Revelation 8. I want you to notice something here. Well, let's go to verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was where? Let me tell you something. When you pray to God, your prayers are going before his throne. Why do you think God sent Moses to Egypt? Because for 400 years, people cried out, said, Lord, deliver us. Lord, send the deliverer, send the deliverer. And you know what? All those prayers were like incense before the throne. You know, when you light incense, the smoke rises. And your prayers go right before the throne of God. Verse 5, and the angel took the censer, filled it with fire on the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So, when you pray, when you worship, when you call upon God, in your mind's eye, I want you to see Jesus on the throne. I want you to see the glory and the brilliance and the brightness of his majesty all around the throne. Think of the brightest. It's brighter than the noonday sun. And that's what you need to focus on when you're worshiping, when you're praying, when you're doing whatever for God. Just have that picture. You know, they tell runners, when they're running, to focus on the goal, right? They put blinders on horses in a horse race because they don't want them to look at the other horses. They want them to look straight ahead. And since we can come before the throne of grace boldly, we have to have this picture. We have to understand what the throne is, what that really is. It is an actual throne in heaven. It's where decisions are made throughout all eternity. This needs to be our focus. It needs to be, we need to be captivated by the throne. All right? And go to Jeremiah 17. And then we're going to take a moment to worship here. Jeremiah 17. I want you to see verse 12. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our what? Did you know that you can find refuge in the throne? The throne is your sanctuary. The throne is your safe place. Guess what? The enemy can't come to the throne. You have the privilege of coming before the throne, and the enemy does not. He tried to set up his throne above God's throne, but that didn't work out so well. He got kicked out of heaven. Okay? So the throne of God is your sanctuary. And let me just give you three quick things that will help prepare you to come before God's throne. All right? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is actually the section under the right to approach God's throne. I just felt prompted that we need to just prepare you for just a minute or two before we enter the throne. Amen? Romans 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You can call him Daddy. Now, maybe you never had a person that you could call Daddy. Or maybe it was bitter for you. But let me tell you something. God is a good daddy. And you don't have a spirit that would cause you to fear. Matter of fact, fear is not in your DNA. So you can come. You can cry, Abba. You can say, Daddy. Okay? For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you know that you're a child of God? Because he bears witness with you. You have a signal on the inside. Amen? You know how it is when you get around relatives. You just kind of know that you're part of that family. Right? And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him who? For through Jesus, we both have what? Access by one Spirit unto who? So through the Spirit of God, you have access. That means you can come before God's throne. You have been granted access. What is the access code if you lose your key? J-E-S-U-S. Amen? It's the easiest passcode that you'll ever have to remember. And it works every time. But I want you to know that you've been granted access to the Father by the Spirit of God. And go to chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given. Where do you think Paul found grace? He went before the throne. You remember when it talked about Noah? How he found grace in God's eyes? Where do you think he found grace? He went before the throne. that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Say, I have boldness. Say, I have access with confidence through faith. And you can, that's how you come before the throne. You got to come in faith. If you don't come in faith, you're not going to please God. All right? So you got to come in faith. You have boldness and access with confidence through faith. That's awesome, isn't it? And you don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 10 says, we can enter the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus. What's the Holy of Holies? That is the throne of God. That is the inner chamber, the most priceless, valuable chamber. The closer you get to God, the more valuable things got. Amen? So I want us to come before God's throne tonight. Amen? And if you don't know Jesus, you can meet him tonight. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord. He is, and all you got to do is call upon him. If you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart, is there anybody here tonight that's never done that? You've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life? You've never invited him into your heart? Is there anyone here that has never done that? So we've all done that? All right. So, I want you to put aside all feelings of unworthiness because Jesus made you worthy. Put away all guilt, shame, and condemnation. Because of the blood of Jesus, he deals with all of that. You've been cleansed by the blood. You've been washed in the blood. Now you can come before the throne of God. Amen? And let's sing the Revelation song. Is that what you had? I don't know if you had that lined up. And if you want to stand up, but I want you to come before God's throne. Forget about who's around you for just a minute. Forget about everything else. And your sole focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I want you to worship him unashamedly and unchained. Amen? Let's have some unchained worship. Amen? Don't be afraid to express your love for God. Don't be afraid about if others are going to hear you. Because we're all going to be praising God, so it's not going to matter. Amen? So let's join the heavens choir. And let's come before the throne. Let's see Jesus high and lifted up. Let's see him sitting on the throne with love and compassion in his eyes and power and might and glory. Let's give him our hearts. Give him our focus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. This Wednesday night, Father, we make a decision to come before your throne, to come into your presence, to worship you, and to bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, you are holy. Holy, holy are you. Oh, sing a new song.